This is A Pirate's Life for Me. Each week, we'll highlight East Carolina alumni achievements from around the Pirate Nation. And now, from the studios of Pirate Radio 1250 and 930 in Uptown Greenville, here are your hosts, Paul Clifford and Jennifer Watson.
Hello, Pirate Nation, and welcome to A Pirate's Life for Me. I'm Paul Clifford.
And I'm Jennifer Watson, and thanks for joining us for tonight's show.
We got a great show lined up. Major General William Holland from the class of 1975 will join us. He's the commander of the 9th Air Force. We look forward to passing his story out to the Pirate Nation in just a couple minutes. But, boy, Jennifer, what a great Pirate victory it was last weekend.
I know, we can. What have you said before? We can call this, what is it? We can call this one a W, or we can stamp this one a W. What is it?
I don't know.
Huh. There's a phrase.
It's paint it purple.
Well, no. W for winning the football game, of course.
That's right. That's right. We pick up the big victory last weekend over Appalachian State. I say big victory. But anyone who was in the stadium was a little bit nervous towards the end of that game.
That's for sure.
But we leave one Mountaineer in our wake, and we move on to the next set of Mountaineers up in West Virginia, which will prove to be probably a more stiffer test for our
Yeah. Well, if you're going to make it to the game, then that's awesome. But if you're not going to be up in West Virginia for the game, the kickoff is at 3:30. And unfortunately, the game is not going to air on TV, which we're not too thrilled about. But
how does that happen?
I don't know. I want to say that it just...
It's a pretty big game.
Yeah, it's a big game.
Especially locally here, at least local television, you would think people would want to have it on here locally, because I know there is a little bit of a hesitation, if you will, to travel to West Virginia.
Right. I understand that has historically been the case.
Right.
It might be a little safer to stay at home.
So the only way to watch this is online through ESPN 360. Thank God for ESPN. Where would we be?
Well, you know, I think the whole sports world would be lost without ESPN.
I think so.
Well, Paul, we're only 2 weeks away from the Pirates Bounty Scholarship Auction and the ECU Alumni Scholarship Classic, which are our annual fundraisers, our annual scholarship fundraisers.
That's right.
That's the important part. So we want to say thanks to our sponsors, Tobacco Road Sellers, for the auction, which is going to be Thursday, September 24th at the Hilton Greenville, which begins at 7 p.m.
It's going to be isn't it going to be a great time? I mean, I was walking back by Kendra's office earlier last week. I'm sorry, earlier this week. Where are we? Hello?
It's at the 11th.
There are auction items everywhere. We're going to have over 150 auction items. There's going to be over 20 live auction items.
Yeah.
If you want one of those painted pirates that you see all around Greenville, you're going to want to come out to the auction on Thursday, September 24th, and possibly bid and take one of those home.
Yeah, well, and the tickets are only $20 per person, and right. This, of course, is a public event, so anyone who wants to support the Alumni Association and support student scholarships, you are welcome to join us. We hope that you will. You can give us a call at the Alumni Center at 328-6072.
Yeah, and remember, for the golfers out there who are listening, we still have spots left in our scholarship golf tournament. If you participate in the scholarship golf tournament, the auction tickets are included in the price of the golf tournament.
Exactly.
So you don't have to sign up for both. If you sign up for the golf tournament, you'll be sent tickets automatically for the auction. So it'll be a great way, you know, come out, spend some time with, bring your spouse to town, spend some time with your spouse at the auction, and then spend some time with fellow pirates out on the golf course the next day, all in the name of raising money for scholarships in East Carolina.
Definitely. And just give us a call, 800-ECU-GRAD, or you can sign up online at piratealumni.com.
That's right. Well, stay tuned to A Pirate's Life for Me. We'll be right back with 2009 Outstanding Alumni recipient General William Holland after this commercial break. Join the East Carolina Alumni Association at Ironwood Golf and Country Club for the ECU Alumni Scholarship Classic on Friday, September 25th.
Sponsored by the Hilton Greenville, this golf tournament supports Alumni Association scholarships given to deserving ECU students.
Join us the night before at the Pirates Bounty Scholarship Auction, then after a day on the links for the 19th hole reception. Player and sponsor opportunities are available now.
Register by calling 800-ECU-GRAD or visit piratealumni.com/golf for details. Get involved. Stay connected with ECU.
Occasions Party and Tent Rentals is the choice of the East Carolina Alumni Association for all our alumni party and event needs. Serving all of Eastern North Carolina, Occasions is your wedding, party, and corporate event headquarters, offering all your party needs to host the perfect event. Paint your next event purple with Occasions. Call today at 252-752-6326 or visit them online at occasionsrental.net. Make your next event an occasion. This is Paul Clifford from the East Carolina Alumni Association. You may have heard of the concept of paying it forward, the belief that you can rarely pay someone back, but you can always do something for the next generation. And that's what the Alumni Association is all about, supporting East Carolina through student recruitment, scholarships, student programs, and advocacy for the university. Join today.
Call 800-ECU-GRAD or visit piratealumni.com for details.
You've been hearing about Springshire Continuing Care Retirement Community, and now this new retirement community is about to take an exciting step. Springshire is now sharing final details and allowing priority list members to select their new home. Springshire is being developed on beautiful property in close proximity to Ironwood Country Club, Pitt County Memorial Hospital, the School of Medicine, shopping and settings hosting many community and cultural events. Springshire promises to be the destination for all who are looking for a vibrant, social model community with nature areas, lake, golf, gardens, putting green, movie theater, on-site assisted living, and skilled care. If you are looking for a beautiful apartment, private townhome, or spacious house in a lovely full-service community, you will find what you deserve at Springshire. Join the excitement as Springshire moves to the next level. If you're not on Springshire's wait list, it's not too late. Go to springshire.org or call Ron Carnigan at 317-2303 and learn why everyone is saying Springshire is the place you want to be.
You're listening to A Pirate's Life for Me. Now, back to the show.
We're happy to welcome 2009 Outstanding Alumni Award recipient, Major General William Holland, to the show. Welcome, General.
Hey, Paul. Great to be able to talk to you.
It's great to talk to you, too. And we're going to start right at the very beginning. Why don't you let folks know how you became an East Carolina Pirate?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, well, you know, I went to high school at Charles B. Aycock High School in outside of Goldsboro, and a lot of my friends and I had talked about going to college. We knew we wanted to go to college, and some of them were wanting to go to UNC, some of them wanting to go to state, but I kind of locked on to East Carolina early on, and then it was going to be a hard time to finance it, so I asked my counselor what was available, and she turned me on to ROTC program and the scholarships that were offered at the time. So I took my test and was lucky enough to qualify for an Air Force ROTC scholarship. I applied to East Carolina about the same time, and the two of them kind of merged together. So there's a great Air Force ROTC program with a lot of history there at East Carolina. And putting the two of them together, I was probably the luckiest guy in all of North Carolina by getting accepted to both, and that starts the history of being a pirate.
Well, you're certainly right. We do have a very strong Air Force ROTC program here at East Carolina.
Well, General Holland, are there any professors or mentors that you had while you were at East Carolina that impacted your education or then impacted your life?
Well, that's a great question, Jennifer. I'll tell you, you know, there are so many people that impact our lives as we go along. Sometimes we realize it at the time, and sometimes we don't. And then later on in the future, we look back and say, boy, that person really had an impact on me. One of the people that influenced me a lot, really, and again, I didn't know it at the time, was Dr. Hooks, Edgar Hooks, because he was from my neighborhood, and I, in fact, worked for his younger brother in the tobacco fields of Eastern North Carolina, and I saw what he had done of going to East Carolina and being in the position that he was in, and I said, you know, that's a pretty good role model for me because, quite honestly, the tobacco farms were good to me as I grew up. But I knew I didn't want to do that for a living. So he was really a good influence on me. And I also ended up going into recreation therapy in the health and physical education department, of which he was a member. So other people, again, majoring in recreation therapy, there was an individual named Van Latham who just passed away earlier this year, unfortunately. And he was a professor at the university, but mainly I knew him through my work with the recreation therapy arena because he had a special needs son. And he was really a role model to me, the way he handled diversity in his life. And I just I really enjoyed being around him and his wife and his son and taking some life lessons from them. Finally, I would say probably one of the most influential people in my time there and then later on was a young lady named Alice Keene. She was a 73 grad, and so I overlapped with her a little bit. But then she after graduation, again in the recreation arena, she hired me for my practical work, and then I continued working for her as she was the director of special recreation for the city of Greenville. So all of those three people played a very, very important role in my life at the time, and then I learned so much from them as mentors in just the way to live life, not just the work environment. So I owe a big debt of gratitude to all three of them, and unfortunately, I probably never told them that.
Well, now you have through this radio show. You mentioned Edgar Hooks. What a great name for a pirate, isn't it?
It is, isn't it?
Well, you know, the commitment that ROTC students make is at a different level than just a regular student here at East Carolina. Talk about some of your favorite memories of your time here at East Carolina that you'd like to share with our listeners.
Well, I probably wasn't as good of a cadet as I should have been. But again, remember at the time that I started East Carolina and went into the ROTC detachment was kind of a tough time for America. Back in 71, 72, Vietnam had just ended, but the scars were still on society at the time, and people, quite honestly, didn't respect, to say the least. In fact, actually scorned and looked down on people in uniform. A lot of people did anyway, not everybody, of course. And so walking up College Hill in uniform was often difficult at the time. But I learned a lot from it, and I think I became a better person. And when other people got to know you outside of uniform or even inside of the uniform but got to know you as a person, I think they understood a lot more. And so our society learned a lot from those lessons. As well as me personally. You know, I guess some of my fondest memories of East Carolina are the people and the camaraderie that I associate with all the friends that I made there. I can remember I rode crew. We had a crew program back then, and I rode crew, and that was a pretty tight-knit group of people, and we did some pretty interesting things going all along the eastern seaboard to regattas, and that was really fun and meaningful to me. But I also remember just sitting on the old brick wall there outside of the old student facility, and just talking to people that would come and sit down with you or would just walk by, and you'd see a friend, and they would be with somebody that you'd never met, and you'd strike up a conversation, and again, just the camaraderie of all of us being together in a unique environment, first time away from home for a lot of us. It was truly an education, a total education for me, an old tobacco farmer from eastern North Carolina. And so those are some of the fondest memories I have of East Carolina, not necessarily in the classroom, but outside of the classroom as well.
Our guest today is Major General William Holland, commander of the 9th Air Force Air Combat Command at Shaw Air Force Base in South Carolina, and you're listening to A Pirate's Life for Me. Now, General, would you walk us through your career? Tell us how you went from graduating from East Carolina to your current position in the U.S. Air Force.
Well, that's a long history, 33 years of active service, so I don't know where to begin. I was delayed after graduation coming active duty. So I spent a year and a half there in Greenville, working at the Vocational Rehabilitation Center Sheltered Workshop. And so again, that was actually a great start for me because I got to experience life outside of school, working, making a living on my own before I ever came into the Air Force. So again, I think that was a great start. After coming into the Air Force, I spent 3 years, in the technical training arena. So I was actually, running a schoolhouse myself, before I got into pilot training. So that's something that a lot of people that go straight into the aviation career field, don't get an opportunity to experience until, maybe 20 years of service. So again, I've been very, very fortunate, in my life and in my Air Force career. So after that, I began flying, and I've been all over the world, either flying or in staff jobs or command positions, and have been surrounded by the most excellent Americans that you could ever want to meet in our United States Air Force, and they've made me look good throughout the years, and their successes have been my successes, and I wear the rank because of them. So it's been a great ride for me, and all of my successes have been because of the great people that I've been around all these years.
Now, General Holland, you talked about how you wear the rank and how those folks around you have put you there. Talk a little bit about, as you rose through the ranks, what some of your biggest challenges were.
Well, Paul, I think one of the biggest challenges is to stay grounded. I think because of my background and experience growing up in eastern North Carolina and going to East Carolina, developing those grassroots understanding of what's important, family, friends. I take the job very seriously, but on the other hand, I try to maintain a balance. You know, my spouse is also an East Carolina graduate. She was also a member of the ROTC. And so after I came active duty, I was active duty for about 6 months before she graduated, and then I went home and commissioned her on one day and married her the next.
Wow. That's quite a story.
Yeah, it is.
We got a lot of pirates down there with the Ninth Air Force.
Yeah, we do. We sure do. And so again, trying to keep that balance as you're working very hard. It's a demanding life being in the military, any branch of our service, but on the other hand, it's very exciting and should be a lot of fun. But understanding again what's important, family. One of my great successes is being able to marry that young lady as she graduated from East Carolina and convincing her to hold on to me all of these years.
Well, that that leads us right into my next question, General Holland, and you may have already answered it. What, both professionally or personally, what has been your greatest triumph?
Well, again, she's been the light of my life and one of my best mentors and friends. And she told me early on, you know, be careful. You know, always look at the differences between inconveniences versus problems. And that has run true for me. There's a lot of things that we do in our life that are inconvenient, but they're really not problems. We make them problems sometimes, but we really shouldn't. And so that is a life lesson that's helped me along the way. And so once again, I would say my personal and professional life really joined together in the fact that I've been able to stay grounded. I've stayed focused on what's important, making sure that there's balance between my family, my friends, and my workplace. And all the time working hard, taking those lessons from the tobacco field about, you know, trying to be the best tobacco cropper you can be, if that's your job, and taking that into the military with a good strong work ethic and a good strong moral ethic too from my family and my friends growing up.
You're listening to A Pirate's Life for Me, and we're talking with 2009 Outstanding Alumni Award recipient, General William Holland. As the commander of the 9th Air Force Air Combat Command based out of Shaw Air Force Base, you command six wings of the Eastern United States and two direct reporting units with more than 350 aircraft and 24,000 active duty and civilian personnel. I also understand you're responsible for the operational readiness of these entities, including the 149th Air Force Gain National Guard and the Air Force Reserve units. It sounds like, and I'm sure it is, I probably haven't even described the enormity of the responsibility that you have on your shoulders. Can you put it in layman's terms for those of us who may not be familiar with Air Force operations, exactly the scope of your responsibility?
Wow, Paul, I don't think I've ever heard it expressed in those terms either. I need to read the writing.
You need to check the job description before you take a position like that.
Hey, can I ask for more money?
That's right.
No, listen, first off, let me tell you, it is really a great honor and a privilege to serve our nation in uniform. But a lot of people out of uniform are serving just as much. And I feel it a great privilege and pleasure to be able to wear the uniform. Having this responsibility and authority that goes along with it really makes me proud. And I guess what we're all concerned about in the military is, and we've always talked about this, is what our primary job is to hopefully stay so strong, so capable, so tough and ready to go to combat that maybe we don't have to. Meaning that if our potential foes recognize how strong we really are, that they won't take us on. So I think that holds true. But today is such a unique environment where you have insurgencies, you have terrorist cells. And so it's a different world dynamic. And so not only do we have to be ready to be able to go to a major conflict, but we also have to continue to provide forces today for the current conflicts, primarily over in Afghanistan and Iraq. And so what my job here is those organizations that fall under me, I work with the commanders out there to make sure that they have everything they need to be able to organize, train, and equip their young airmen to be able to do what our nation might ask them to do, and that is provide capabilities for the current contingency operations, but also be ready to go at a moment's notice if we're called anywhere around the world.
Well, you may have already touched on it, but speaking from a military standpoint, what do you feel is the greatest challenge facing the United States right now?
Well, again, I think it's as you said. I just talked a little bit about it. I think in a very dynamic world that we live in today, it's always been dynamic, but it's certainly unique and different now. The fact that we have to be concerned about fighting and winning in an insurgent environment today, which we have going on in a couple of areas of operations, but we also can't lose focus on what makes us so great, and that is our preparedness to go anywhere and do anything that our nation calls us to do. That's difficult, and especially in a time of budget constraints, in a time where our people may get tired. They're concerned about being away from their families, as all of us are. And so, once again, that balance that I talked about earlier on in my life, we have to make sure that that's also institutionalized in our Air Force, and we take care of people. Taking care of families is part of taking care of our airmen. And so that is probably the biggest challenge I see from a military perspective.
You know, we don't often get an opportunity to talk to somebody who is so close to the operations going on in Iraq and Afghanistan. Could you go ahead and give us a report card on how the U.S. is really doing on our mission to squelch terrorism and assist countries like Iraq and Afghanistan in obtaining political and social freedom?
I knew you'd put me on the spot here, Paul. Actually, I think it's a good news story. Certainly, from the perspective of our military members, they are doing an absolutely outstanding job every day, and I think people would be amazed if they knew the responsibilities that we put on our young people of all services, and then how they step up to the plate and hit a home run for America every day. Now, I don't mean to sound like a bumper sticker or anything, but I have the opportunity, as you said, to get out there in the field with them and to kind of walk the walk with them and see what they do, how they do it, and the attitude that they go about it. And they are just phenomenal. I mean, our nation should be very, very proud of our individual military members. And because of that flexibility, adaptability, innovation, I think we as a nation are doing pretty well. Sometimes because of the environment, the counterterrorism and counterinsurgency, it takes a long time to fight the enemy in those types of environments. Takes a long time, and we are used to going in, acting, seeing something happen, and then being able to roll back. So that's a unique environment for us, and sometimes we think we're taking two steps forward and one step back, but in all, we continue to move forward. So, I think our nation needs to be proud of our military members.
Well, you're certainly right. I think that's an important news story to be telling. And I think, and correct me if I'm wrong here, because you're certainly in a better position to assess this than I am, but I think in a lot of ways our country has grown in the sense that when you first got involved in the military and you talked about your walk up College Hill, Americans at that time had a difficult time separating political feelings from how they felt about men and women who are serving our country. And I think we've grown in the sense that regardless how we feel politically, we still know that the job that our men and women in the service are doing is critically important to protecting our freedom. Whether we agree politically or not, why we are in a certain place, I think we all agree that the folks in the uniform certainly deserve and demand our respect.
Well, Paul, I'm glad you said that because you're absolutely right. And I was going to mention that earlier. We do separate now, and American society does not look at the military member with a political view. They look at it just the way it is, and that is we sign up and put the uniform on to do what our nation asks us to do. And so you can't blame us for your political views, and they don't anymore. I mean, I can walk the streets anywhere in the United States. I fly on commercial airlines with my uniform on, and I'm constantly thanked for serving my country, and that's a great sense of pride, and certainly a wave change, a huge wave change from the way it was back when I told you I walked up College Hill.
We're talking today with General William Holland, the commander of the 9th Air Force Air Combat and 2009 Outstanding Alumni Award recipient, and you're listening to A Pirate's Life for Me. We'll let Jennifer and I get right in line with all those folks who come up to you and thank you for your service, not only for your service to your country, but every time you get the opportunity, we notice that you are proud to say, yes, I am a pirate. And that means the world to us here at East Carolina. It not only... it's not only important when our alumni say that, but when other people, when they say it in such a public setting like you often do, it raises the value of every East Carolina degree. And for that, we are indebted to folks like you and the hundreds of thousands of other pirate alumni around the country who do the same.
Well, thanks, Paul, and to you, Jennifer. And really, this is a privilege. Just like I said, it's a privilege to wear the uniform. It's also a privilege to be associated with East Carolina University. I've always said that. Unfortunately, I've been around the world and away from the local area, so I haven't been able to participate as much as I would like at times. But trust me, I'm a pirate through and through, and I've always said that, and I've always been proud of being a pirate. In fact, you know, I have family and friends that went to UNC, I'm living here now in South Carolina, and my secretary is a diehard USC fan, but I'm constantly reminding them all that there's only one Carolina, and that's East Carolina. Go Pirates!
That sounds great. Now stay tuned to A Pirate's Life for Me, everyone. We'll be right back after this commercial break.
Hello, this is Greg Abiunas, Director of Planned Giving at East Carolina University. The Leo W. Jenkins Society was established to celebrate the importance of planned gifts to the future of ECU. Planned gifts include bequests, charitable gift annuities, trusts, life insurance, IRAs, and certain gifts of real estate. If you currently have or would like to discuss an estate plan that benefits East Carolina, please call me at 252-328-9573. Be a visionary like Dr. Jenkins and help transform ECU for the future. Call me today at 252-328-9573.
Make the Alumni Association tailgate part of your game day tradition. Thanks to this year's sponsors, Aramark, WITN, Liberty Mutual, Pepsi, Chico's, Trips, O'Charlie's, Rep Express, and Uncle Yammy's Rib Shack, we're able to offer great food and great fun for all Pirate fans. Leave the grill at home and join our family-friendly atmosphere 2.5 hours prior to kickoff. Tickets are on sale now and are $10 for Alumni Association members and $20 for non-members. Children under 12 are free. Call 800-ECU-GRAD to get your Alumni Tailgate tickets today.
East Carolina alumni, you may be able to save on the high cost of auto and home insurance through Liberty Mutual's Group Savings Plus program. The East Carolina Alumni Association and Liberty Mutual have teamed up to offer attractive discounts on both auto and home insurance. To take advantage of these discounts and competitive rates, call the local Liberty Mutual office today, toll free at 800-835-0894. Please mention this announcement when you call.
Help ECU honor its best at the 2009 Alumni Awards Dinner and Ceremony on Friday, October 16th.
The East Carolina Alumni Association will honor 8 individuals for their accomplishments and dedication to ECU.
Do you know an alum or individual who deserves recognition by East Carolina? If so, nominate them by November 1st to be considered for the Outstanding Honorary or Distinguished Alumni Award.
For registration or nomination details, visit piratealumni.com or call 800-ECU-GRAD. Get involved, stay connected with ECU.
You're listening to A Pirate's Life for Me. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. We'd like to thank Major General William Holland for being our guest today, and what an appropriate day for him to be on the show, Paul, since it's September 11th.
Absolutely. A solemn day that we remember the tragedy of what happened in New York City and really Washington and really all around the world. I mean, the impact of September 11th was felt by many worldwide, and an appropriate interview to pass along to the Pirate Nation of somebody who's, you know, standing on that wall to protect our freedom from future terror attacks and, you know, protecting our interests worldwide. So thanks again to General William Holland for joining us on the show today. Well, now's the time of the show where we ask, are you a member? The number one reason to join the Alumni Association is to support a great university that we all love and to show your power of pride. But today we'd like to talk about how, as members of the Alumni Association, you are the torchbearers of tradition at East Carolina. The Alumni Association keeps university traditions alive. Events like Homecoming, our Golden Alumni Reunion, ECTC, ECC Annual Reunion, events for graduating seniors, Class Ring Day, Affinity Reunions, a whole plethora. Plethora.
Good word.
That is a good word.
I like it.
A whole plethora of events that the Alumni Association sponsors to keep tradition alive at East Carolina. It's because of your support, the support of our members of the Alumni Association, that we are able to continue to provide these great traditions for generations of Pirates to come. So when I ask the question, are you a member? If the answer is yes, thank you for your support. If the answer is no, what are you waiting for? Join today. Call us at 800-ECU-GRAD or join online at piratealumni.com/join today.
And help us reach 10,000 members in 2010.
That's right. That's right.
Well, be sure to join us next Friday at right here at 6 o'clock after Live at 5, when our guest will be Scott Avett, a musician and the co-founder of the Avett Brothers.
That's right. Thanks to our producer, Shirley Rhodes. And until next time, keep inhaling purple and exhaling gold.
Go Pirates!